on the bus go open and shut all through the town. The wipers on the bus go swish, 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 swish. The wipers on the bus go swish, 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 all through.
Yeah, we get it. Okay, we're talking about school bus safety today, part of our discussion every month about the Racine County Traffic Safety Commission. And, of course, school is starting September, right?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, September 2nd.
And so we're talking about that today, get you all set up for it. John Strack is here. He's from the Racine Unified School District Transportation Supervisor for the school district, and that includes buses. Now, you heard me earlier today. Move a little closer. I want to hear everything you have to say. You heard me earlier today said, I took a school bus when I was in kindergarten, but that's it. That was the last time I was on a school bus. And I said, they haven't changed much. Now, you said, yes, from the outside, they haven't changed much. Sure. What's changed on the inside?
The outside portion of a bus is relatively stayed unchanged. The inside of the bus, however, when it comes to technology, has been highly integrated now. Safety and security is now foremost. There were chassis designs that were changed in the 80s due to accidents that had happened across the nation. So they made chassis changes to make the bus more durable and safe should something end up happening. I think, had mentioned the school bus seating earlier this morning. And the seating has pretty much stayed the same since the 80s and 70s. They have compartmentalization, where the seats are now more padded to protect the students should something happen. Some school buses are incorporating seatbelts, but the biggest changes have come in the driver's area in terms of being able to visually see more of what's going on around the school bus to provide for safety and the driver's comfort while they're having to drive these long hours.
I would last 9 seconds as a bus driver, because the first kid that acted up, I'd stop the bus and get out. 9 seconds, I'd be fired in that job. You got to have the patience of a saint, because, you know, these are kids. They're little kids, and some of them are kindergartners, some are first graders. Not that the high schoolers are much better, but they act up. They're excited. They're running around, throwing things at each other, fighting, whatever. And you got, how many, 50 kids on a bus?
You can have anywhere between, from very little up to about 80.
80. How do you control 80 kids, especially if they're young kids?
Well, and I mean, this is one of the things that we work with First Student, and they have incredible drivers who are dedicated. We have career drivers, people who have driven for 35 years, 40 years in support of the students, and Their first priority always is to make sure the bus is getting from point A to point B safely. They have to drive, but yet they also have to be aware of what's taking place on the bus. So they are all highly trained. They are wonderful individuals who truly care about the children that they drive.
Oh, yeah. I couldn't put up with it. I mean, fighting and the screaming and the hollering and the throwing things. And I'm not saying that happens a lot, but it can happen.
Yes, it can.
And you're at the mercy when you're driving a bus of other people on the road. And you hear these horror stories. It's rare, but you hear them where the bus had an accident because some trucker or some car got in its way. And I mean, it does happen, but you're dealing with, as my father would say, precious cargo.
Absolutely.
This is it. And before we get to all the stuff from the Racine County Traffic Safety Commission, this always comes up when we talk about buses. It comes up with the seatbelts.
Mm-hmm.
Here's what I was told. A lot of the buses, or you say some now have them, but most buses don't have seatbelts. In an emergency, you couldn't start unbuckling 50 kids if, God forbid, there was an accident. I mean, starting to unbuckle 50 children would take so long and they said, four across the entire bus. And I'm told that's why. But then people say, well, if it gets into an accident, they're like little lotto balls flying all over the bus because they hit the ceiling and everything. So which is worse, buckling them in or not buckling them in? It's a good question.
Yeah. And that is a question that's being discussed all across transportation when it comes to it. I'm part of the National Association of Pupil Transportation, and there has always been, there's two sides of that. The difficulty is if you notice, most buses are top heavy anyway. So if they do roll, just like in your car, if you happen to roll your car, the pressure of your own body will make unbuckling the seatbelt almost impossible, because the weight against that buckle will hold you in the seat. You will not be able to. You have to actually cut yourself out. They actually sell little things that you can cut yourself out of the seatbelt. But with a school bus, like you said, if you have 50 to 80 passengers and it rolls, one of the demonstrations I saw was that they took an older school bus and they had it catch fire. And within 3 minutes, the entire bus is completely engulfed in smoke that you cannot see through the bus. And within five, the entire bus can be in flames, depending on what's inside, coats, backpacks, all those things.
Just easier to open the back door instead of pushing all the kids out the back door.
Well, bus drivers have very limited time to get the children out. And if the bus rolls, just as you had said, how do you get through all of those seatbelts in a reasonable period of time, because that precious cargo has to get out of the bus as safely and as quickly as possible?
I don't know. That I couldn't do the job.
Yeah.
I would be, anxiety ridden the entire time. You're dealing with so many people that you're responsible for. You're like the pilot on a plane.
Absolutely.
I mean, you're responsible. But the pilot, you have adults on a plane. And lately, I mean, they act like kids sometimes. But with all these kids, and they're excited, and they're making noise and telling on each other.
Well, and this is one of those things that's important also for parents to, it's not only important to teach your children how to get from home to the bus stop and back safely. It's also important to teach them what to do once they get on the school bus, getting to their seat quickly, getting to their seat and staying in their seat, not throwing items around the bus.
And here's another big one. Get out to the bus stop on time. Don't make the bus driver wait for you.
Yeah, 5 minutes early is what we ask in our school district. I know there are other districts in the area that say 10 to 15 minutes early. That doesn't mean the bus will be there, but it's better that you're there early, so that way, if it is running a little bit ahead of time, you can get on the bus and then keep the time flow going for everybody else to be at.
I knew a bus driver, school bus driver, and occasionally they had to park their bus empty at like a shopping center area. And I said, what are you doing that? Because if there's an emergency and the bus doesn't work, I pull right out and take over.
Yep.
So there's always backup buses sitting all over town. They look like they're doing nothing, and they are doing nothing, but they're waiting in case there's an emergency where the bus engine stops. They got to pick up all the kids and they're ready to go.
Yes, we have three standby buses at all times ready to go in case something just like that happens.
And it does happen. Engines break and, tires go flat. All right. This is from the Racine County Traffic Safety Commission. If you go to their website, racinecounty.com/staying safe, you'll see what I'm talking about here. Well, that's good. They wrote white on light gray. Let me see if I can read this here. Okay. Who did that? The law requires school buses in Wisconsin to have flashing amber lights. Boy, that's hard to read. Do you see that?
Yes.
Hold on, I got to get right up to this. Used as a warning to drivers that the bus is preparing to stop. I didn't realize that. So the lights start flashing before they stop.
Yes. When you see the yellow lights, what will end up happening is the yellow light is a warning. It lets you know that just like with a yellow light, you need to prepare to stop. And in some cases, our school buses, by law, can only activate their yellows. This happens in areas they will not ever flash their reds or put out a stop arm. In a neighborhood that has curbs on both sides of the street and sidewalks on both sides of the street, the only difference is Sturtevant does have an ordinance that allows it. But for the city of Racine,
why wouldn't the stop sign come out on the bus?
Because when there are curbs and sidewalks on both sides, all the other communities in our area have said that the school buses cannot put them out due to flow of traffic. We always make sure that those stops will be what are called right side stops.
Mm-hmm.
So the students don't need a stop arm to cross them, but they may have to go down, cross at a stop sign or a stop crosswalk and come back to where the bus is. When the yellow lights are flashing, you need to be prepared that there could be children in the area. However, when the reds come on, that's when you need to stop.
I didn't realize it. I thought that every time they open that door to let kids out, the stop sign comes out.
No, not necessarily. When we get further along on the website, they'll actually talk about that as well.
When children are getting off the bus, they should walk straight ahead and move at least 10 feet from the bus. Yeah, they should, but you're dealing with little kids, and they don't always do that.
Right, and the proximity is extraordinarily important. There have been some absolutely heart-wrenching stories, even in the state of Wisconsin, where students have crossed too close to the bus. The driver cannot see them because of the hood or the chassis that's in front of them or behind the bus, and that does cause issues as well. There is now a safety device. We're just talking about additions. You'll see a giant sweep arm that comes out in front of the
school
buses.
Bumper.
Yes,
yeah,
and it comes out, and it forces the children to walk around it. Teach your children that isn't a toy. You don't try to limbo under it. You don't try to do anything. Go around it, because it provides that the driver can see it. And the student should never cross until they make eye contact with the driver and the driver signals that it's safe. Because, unfortunately, there are people that are distracted or are in a hurry and not paying attention or following the law and will buzz past buses that are stopped. And we need to ensure the student's safety. Students have been hit by cars, and they need to make sure that the driver has looked and seen that both sides of the traffic have stopped, and then signal the child if they do need to cross.
The front of the bus, the most dangerous area within the danger zone, a number of blind spots which the driver cannot see small children. It's a big thing, a bus.
Yes.
I mean, sometimes you can't see the front of your car, or if you have an SUV, it's tough. Imagine having a school bus.
Well, with your car, think about a toddler. You know, if you have a toddler playing in a driveway near your car,
you can't see him in the back rear view mirror. Can't see him. Children must be educated to move forward away from the bus until they can see the bus driver's face. There, the bus driver can see them as well. Right. If he can see you, you can see him.
Yep.
That's good advice. A passing car cannot see a child since the large bus hides the children from sight of the vehicle. You would think if you saw a school bus stopped, you would slow down and take extra precautions just in case the kid darts out. I mean, they'll do it sometime. I mean, this is suggested, and but you're dealing with little kids. They don't follow the rules all the time. They're excited. They're home. They run out in front of the bus. I mean, slow down.
Well, and they also talk to their friends, so they'll be looking at each other and not into the road. So that's, again, where the driver will signal them to let them know that they see that all traffic has stopped.
Small children are in danger in the back of the bus since the bus driver cannot see these children at all. Yeah, if they get off the bus and they want to cross in the back of the bus, you can't see them.
Yeah.
Can't even see an adult back there sometimes because the bus is high.
And especially the back right-hand side of a school bus. That zone from where that tire is all the way around to the middle back of the bus is the most dangerous area on the back half of the bus, just because of the way the mirrors are aligned to see cars. It creates a blind spot back there.
We talked about this briefly, but red lights versus yellow lights on the bus.
Yes. Again, the yellow lights are a warning or an activation to let you know that the bus is going to stop. If you see a bus stopped with yellows, that does not mean that as a driver that you need to stop, but you do need to proceed with caution. Reduce your speed. Be more aware of what's going on around you and what's going on around that bus. As you were just saying, Don, a child can go zipping out or they'll be talking to their friends. They're not really paying attention as much as they should. The driver needs to take responsibility for their vehicle.
Yeah, these kids are like 5, 6, 7 years old. Yep. I mean, think about that. And the red light, you got to stop.
Yeah, now the red lights always cause some confusion about this time of year. When I see a bus with a stop arm extended and flashing red, when do I have to stop? Well, if you're behind the bus, no matter what lane you're in, you need to stop. If you are traveling the same direction as the bus, if those red lights are activated and that stop arm is out, you need to stop. You need to stop behind the bus until that stop arm goes away. It becomes a de facto stop sign for our intersection right at that moment.
I can't tell you how many times I see people go right past it.
Right.
I say, we have a stop sign here on Victory Avenue. I'll go out and poke my beak out the door every half hour or so to get some fresh smoke in my lungs. And from outside, all my life, I never smoked a cigarette. All of a sudden, I'm smoking Camels every time I breathe out there. They just blow the stop sign.
Yeah.
Because they figure it's early in the morning. No one's there. It's just like it didn't exist.
Right. And or they're distracted, or they're texting,
no,
or whatever.
They don't want to stop. Yeah. I know what's going on out there.
Now, the one thing to be aware, though, is if you are approaching a bus from the other direction.
Right, yeah.
If you are on, let's say, a 2 or a 4-lane road with no divider in the middle of it, and by divider, I mean something that you cannot, that you are able, a divider is something that you cannot drive over, whether it's like grass with curbs or things along those lines. If you cannot drive over it, it's considered a divided highway, and you do not need to stop on the other side.
A boulevard, yeah.
Yeah. Now, if there is no divider in the middle of that, or just painted lines that you could drive over, all sides need to stop. So if you're approaching it, and this does happen, especially in our community, when you think about Green Bay Road, there are portions of Green Bay Road that are just painted lines. And if there's a bus on the right side and you're coming from the other direction, if it's just painted lines, even in that area, you need to stop if that bus is in the other area. But if it's a physical divider, you do not need to stop if you are approaching from the opposite direction.
A driver, a vehicle, meeting, let's see, meeting from earlier direction, a stopped school bus with flashing red lights may not proceed until the flashing red lights have stopped. Vehicle drivers proceeding in the opposite direction, like you were saying, on a divided highway, need not stop for a school bus with flashing red lights. Divided highway is a highway, obviously, with permanent structures in the middle. We're talking about a boulevard where there are curbs and grass growing in the middle. How about the red lights may not flash? A school bus loading area when the bus is entirely off the traveled portion of the road. I never knew this red flashing thing until you told me this morning. Drivers need to stop in a residential or business district where students or other authorized passengers are being loaded or unloaded. The sidewalks with curbs are present on both. Wait, instead of me just reading this, you explained this before. If there are curbs on both sides, you can't use the stop sign. I never knew this.
No, there's actually ordinances in the city of Racine that prevent that from occurring.
I never knew that. I always thought you stop, door opens, the stop sign comes out automatically.
No.
It doesn't do that.
No.
Huh?
No, the drivers have to activate that. They have to be aware of it as well. Oddly enough, if it's on a one-way street, it is allowed in certain areas to have the stop arm extended. But the, that's the ordinance in the area. Like I said, Sturtevant does have an exception to that. They have a different policy which allows the stop arm to be extended.
Hmm. You live and learn. Special education bus on a one-way street where a sidewalk and curb are laid on both sides of the road and the student needs to cross the road, they shall use the flashing red light. So for special ed students, then they can use it.
Yes, they
can.
Is that everywhere? On one-way streets.
Is that everywhere?
On one-way streets. It's very, very specific.
Man, who knew these rules even existed?
The one thing I would like to say is that also with this, and it's not on the website, but parents need to teach their children how to safely get to and wait at a bus stop as well. And ensure that your children are back from the curb, not playing tag, pushing each other, shoving, being kids. but stay back from that curb because anything can happen in that area. You have cars passing before the bus is coming. You have cars that may be swerving if they see a bus stop in front of them and they weren't paying attention. The kids actually need to get to the bus stop and at least remain somewhat aware of what's going on in their area. Teach your children to be safe.
I was always a good kid. I never misbehaved. My daughter's first day of kindergarten, we lived in Brown Deer. And the first day of kindergarten, we're all waiting for her when she got off the bus at the end, coming home from school on her first day. She wasn't there.
Mm-hmm.
Panic, like you wouldn't believe, set in. She got off on the wrong stop. So I went with the neighbor kids and we traced this. And there she was, frozen on a street corner where she got, she didn't recognize anything. She was, you know, 5 years old. She didn't recognize anything. And she's just frozen with her little new dress on, with her little school bag, just standing there on the corner waiting for help to come. I felt terrible.
It's terrifying.
I know. She didn't get off the bus.
And as a student.
Yeah. I had a guy named Mr. Clancy was my bus driver. I only had the buses in kindergarten. The rest of the time I had to walk. And Mr. Clancy was also a firefighter. He was in work for the volunteer fire department. And he was no nonsense. But he was the nicest guy, Mr. Clancy. But there was no nonsense on the bus. He would just turn around and give you that look. Mm-hmm. He didn't say anything. But everybody behaved themselves. And he was just a great, he taught us things about the fire whistles that blow. He was just a great bus driver. We used to love Mr. Clancy. Again, I only used him for one, you know, year on the, when I was in kindergarten, but that was it.
But that makes such a statement because these drivers dedicate their time to supporting you as a child. These years later, after you have no longer needed the bus, you still remember Mr. Clancy. You remember him in the mornings. They're the first face you see in the morning before school starts. They're the last face you see before you're going home at the end of the day.
He knew all our names.
Yeah, and that's the impact they make. They care. They're driving you to be safe. And, you know, again, to parents and to children, support your school bus drivers. Yeah. They're doing everything they can to help.
You know, to this day, I remember in the town I grew up in, two short whistles on the fire, you know, fire siren, then house fire. One long one was an emergency. He told us that, and I never forgot that. That's 5 years old. You know how many thousands of years ago that was that I heard that? All right, so if you want to know what we're talking about school bus safety today, and it's on the website, the Racine County Traffic Safety Commission's website. Just go to racinecounty.com/staying safe, and you'll see everything we talked about there. John Strack, who's from the Racine Unified School District, their transportation supervisor. This is your season coming up. You got 1 month, and that's then it all starts.
Absolutely. And be aware in the community that that's the Racine Unified School District start date. However, we do have private schools that will be beginning. So the buses will be on the roads starting as soon as next Friday, August 14th.
What happened to summer?
Be aware.
These poor kids going. My big panic was I used to start seeing the back to school ads in August. I said, put them away. I don't want to see back to school. I said, another month. Don't start it yet, please. And I remember my mother would say, now this is like the beginning of August. We have to start getting your school supplies. No, we don't. School doesn't start till after Labor Day. Stop saying that. Thank you, John, for coming in.
Thank you.
John Strack. And this is dedicated people like you, making sure kids are safe, because once your kids go out there, they're with people sometimes you don't know.
Yeah.
And make sure we get them home safe every day. John Strack from the Racine Unified School District. He's their transportation supervisor. And again, this is our monthly Staying Safe from the Racine County Traffic Safety Commission. Tom Nitter, I thank him for setting this all up.